From theheart.org radio, you are listening to Click and Rub with Drs. Eric Topol and Paul Tierstein.
Well, good day. I'm sitting on the lovely porch of Dr. Eric Topol, overlooking the Pacific Ocean. The waves are breaking. The sun is setting. And we're going to talk about hospital rankings and quality measures and how different rankings are created and what the impact is and how this consumers are using them to choose hospitals. So, Eric, apparently just a week or two ago, there was a report by the Joint Commission, which was kind of surprising.
Yeah, it really was.
It apparently found that the hospitals with the best records from a Joint Commission score were not the same hospitals that were top-ranked in U.S. News and World Report rankings. So
exactly.
How do we explain that?
Well, it's pretty striking, Paul. There were 405 hospitals ranked by the Joint Commission for things like giving aspirin for heart attack and antibiotics for pneumonia. And not one of the 17 top centers of U.S. News and Report was in that list. So it had over 12 million medical actions, and notably absent was Johns Hopkins, Cleveland Clinic, Mayo Clinic, Mass General, Duke, you know, the UCLA, all the usuals. And Peter Provenovos, the fellow from Hopkins who's written so much about quality of medicine, he said it's pretty glaring that they're not there. And the other thing I thought was really striking was Chasson, Mark Chasson, who's really been the big quality pusher. He said about the ones who aren't on the list and who are doing poorly, he said they know who they are. So,
yeah. So, the U.S. News World Report is sort of interesting because and surprising. I don't think people really, not too many people know how those rankings are accomplished, and there's really three components to them. Perhaps the most objective is mortality. And although that's objective, the problem is that the mortality rates don't differ that much between hospitals. And if a mortality rate of 0.5% would be a really good cardiovascular mortality rate, and a really bad part of cardiovascular mortality rate might be 1%. So trying to distinguish, and you know, with what might be some risk adjustment, but it's pretty meager risk adjustment, trying to distinguish hospitals on that basis is not too easy. Then there is some credence given to technology, presence of technology, you know, whether you have robotic surgery counts, but not that much.
Right.
And one third of the measure is the hospital's reputation.
Which is amazing.
Yeah, it's a big issue. And if you take that out, then the rankings would be completely different.
Yeah. You know, and then, you know, Malcolm Gladwell, the noted author, back in February in The New Yorker, he had an incredible article called The Order of Things. And he really ripped the U.S. News for this reputational score and the self-fulfilling prophecy. And, you know, I think this quote in here is really good. It says, but reputational ratings are simply inferences from broad, readily observable features of an institution's identity, such as its history, the prominence in the media, of the elegance of its architecture. They are prejudiced. So, you know, that's reputational score drives this thing. And, you know, one of the most amazing thing is when I was at Cleveland Clinic, we didn't even have a Department of Geriatric Medicine, and it was ranked in number one for years.
In geriatric medicine?
Yeah.
That's
we didn't even
funny.
Have it, but, you know.
Well,
that
people
was just
fill out the form and just think that it must be great.
Yeah, so, reputational score carryover, yeah.
You probably think that maybe thousands of, how do they come up with a reputational score? Will they send a survey out to probably thousands of doctors, right? No. Okay. Not a thousands of doctors.
No, you really looked into this, didn't you?
For cardiology, yeah. For cardiology, they send it out to 80 physicians. throughout the country every year.
I was shocked it was so limited.
But it's worse than that, because only 45% respond, despite they do multiple mailings.
So like 30, 40
It's a very small number.
Wow.
And but then they put together 3 years at a time, so it works out to be, I don't know, 150, some very tiny number. And it's distributed around the country. So we're here on the West Coast, and, you know, it's really about 20 doctors that are determining the reputational score, 20 West Coast doctors that are returning the reputational score on the West Coast. And they are, by the way, they're not just any doctors. They are a combination of surgeons, internists, and cardiologists, electrophysiologists, and interventional cardiologists. So there's a broad spectrum of docs. But when you divide up, I just think in a very self-addressing way that I'm thinking about interventional cardiology, there's probably one interventional cardiologist that got on the West Coast that got that survey.
Yeah, but that survey drives so
it drives
much.
35% of it, which really drives the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because the problem is that it's not only is it 35%, but it's one of the few things that are greatly different between different institutions. You know, the score of Cleveland Clinic, for example, is huge. It's like they get like a 65% recognition. And by the time you get down to about 20 on the list, you're down to like 8% reputational recognition, and it's and even lower. So there's a wide variation in reputational score, and therefore it's a very important component to distinguish hospitals, but yet it doesn't necessarily have a lot of meaning when it comes to patient care.
Well, you know what's interesting? There's this other scoring, the Thomson Reuters,
mm-hmm.
and they don't use any reputational score. They just use all these public databases, outcomes, and their top 10 hospitals, like, for example, Heart, were totally different than the ones that were, except for Mayo Clinic. I mean, that was kind of interesting. Scripps showed up in the top 10 there, but none of the others, show up, of course, in the top of the U.S. News. So very different ranking mechanisms. And does this all just get down to what's used for marketing purposes? What is this?
Well, that's one of the problems, is that it becomes marketing. Hospitals then take out ads in the magazine, and which kind of again drives the self-fulfilling prophecy, because the U.S. News World Report don't really want to change how things go, because now the hospitals that are in it are their customers. It's a prestige thing. Hospitals, some hospitals try hard to get on the list and upgrade their standing on the list, and then looking for ways that they can best position themselves for the list, and that's probably not a worthy goal. It's probably not a good virtue of report carding. So, but is there a good question? Is there a virtue to it? Is there something good about these kind of lists? And
well, I mean, consumers want to know where they could get the best care, and this is supposed to give them that kind of guidance. So, I mean, that's the ulterior motive, right?
Well, yeah, and I think to the extent that it drives institutions to improve their quality, that's terrific. On the other hand, it often drives institutions to improve the appearance of their quality.
Right.
And in fact, you see that's happening. It's going to get worse and worse, because we're all driven now with so much report carding. In fact, because reimbursement's going to be contingent on it, which will really drive it.
Yeah.
And then pretty soon it's going to be almost impossible to distinguish the different hospitals. So in this Joint Commission survey, I think one of the things that was exciting about it is that 97% of the hospitals now are, amongst the top.
Right, right.
So it's pretty hard from a consumer to really distinguish different hospitals. Now, maybe you could argue that that's okay. If all the hospitals are good, that would be a great thing. But I'm a little concerned that the hospitals then just focus on the measures that are being measured, and that's at the exclusion of other things.
Well, I got another question for you, Paul, because mm-hmm. it's about specificity. Because let's say a top hospital, and it really is not just reputational score, but their outcomes are excellent, and you get a generic referral, you're likely to get a weak hitter who has an open schedule. I mean, there's lemons at every hospital in terms of the people that are really going to be outstanding, right? They're ones that are hardest to get appointments with.
Yeah, I like to think that a good institution has oversight and is able to control who's on the staff. I mean, that's actually, no one's ever really talked about. No one really talks about that, do they?
No.
That the staffs are usually open. But I don't know how they went in a Cleveland Clinic, but I don't think there are too many doctors that just sort of walk in off the street and aren't vetted to work at Cleveland Clinic, right?
No, but there's a variance. I mean, it's quite a heterogeneous. It's very large, and, you know, there's some that are outstanding and some that are, you know, certainly not top-notch. So I think that type of heterogeneity exists at all the big centers.
Yeah, it does. It's so hard to find any measurement that's going to be of value. The other thing that goes on is the gaming of the system. I don't even know if it's really gaming of the measurements or more just focusing your attention on them. I'm thinking right now of the LDL measures that we're doing now. You know, we're all getting graded on. And I'm thinking, as a cardiologist taking care of patients with coronary artery disease, who wouldn't check the LDL? Who wouldn't, you know, try to do what you could to improve that number? And do we really need to get a report card on this? But yet, a lot of people at Scripps are spending a lot of time grading us on it.
No, and all over the country.
And and of course, the irony there is that the two doctors who run our lipid clinic have the worst outcomes there. And that makes sense, of course, because they get all the difficult to treat patients.
Yeah.
And they're going a little crazy. How do we develop a measure that doesn't make us look bad? I mean, and of course there are ways to do that, but no one's getting that sophisticated at this point.
Well, getting back to this main theme is that, so reputational score, at least for the U.S. News and World Report rankings, really drives it. And we know that as you have quantified, there's very small numbers of people that are weighing in on a reputation. And then on the other hand, even papers in the New England Journal that have tried to really zoom in on this have found that the top-ranked hospitals are not delivering the best quality of care, and that's been really reinforced by this new Joint Commission study. So what should we do? Should we get rid of these things, or where do we go from here?
I think it would actually be great to get rid of reputational score. That would be, I realize that, you know, if I was working at Cleveland Clinic, I wouldn't want to. I work part-time at Columbia, and that they've got a great reputational score. But it isn't. It does perpetuate an old boys network, and it's probably not right. And it doesn't really measure outcomes. It really just measures, you know,
self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah, it measures, you know, kind of what people think.
Yeah.
But not really the truth. So that would be good to get rid of them. I think getting rid of quality measures in general is probably a lousy idea, because there probably is improvement in healthcare.
That'll be the foundation of this accountable care organization story if it ever really gets legs.
I think it will be very hard. I think it's going to be very hard to distinguish different hospitals on the basis of those metrics, because all the hospitals are going to really try hard to make sure those metrics look good. You know, some funny stories are, you know, if you look at the door to balloon time, I know some hospitals that, you know, the first thing they do, if they ever miss a door to balloon time of 90 minutes, if they ever are beyond 90 minutes, they go crazy trying to find some reason to exclude that patient. Of course, it's all self-reporting. And then there's one hospital in San Diego, because the group gets together in San Diego regularly, that was reporting door to balloon times in some patients of 10 minutes or less. Okay, now that's really impossible. So how do they get
10
that?
10 minutes or
less. Yeah, well, how do you get that? That's a patient who had a heart attack on the cath lab table.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, right. Right.
So
which might have been induced.
Right. So but that's not what this is measuring. I mean, that's not a door. The door is not the door to the cath lab.
Don't worry to get your average down, isn't it?
But you know, all the self-reporting is subject to inaccuracy, either intentional or not. So this is a tough subject, and I think it would be nice to make to have people more aware, as this Joint Commission report I think was trying to do. But of course, that got very little press. Notice that.
I know it was a New York Times, you know, big article, but I didn't hear anything about it. Yeah. Well, you know what? It'll be interesting to see what the reactions are to our listeners of Click and Rub.
Well, we'll look forward to that. Please let us know what you think of reputational score and hospital rankings.
You've been listening to Click and Rub with Drs. Eric Topol and Paul Tierstein on the Heart.org radio, sharing ideas and opinions with the cardiology community worldwide. Find out more on theheart.org.